baptized. If you're a believer in the Lord and you've yet to be water baptized, then I exhort you, I encourage you to actually meet with me right after this service. Those of you who are getting baptized tonight, I'd like to meet with you, and we'll meet right there by the screen. If you've never been baptized and you'd like to be, I'll share with you. And I would invite all of you to come out tonight and just fellowship. We got the outdoor pool all night for 3 hours, the slide, the basketball courts and all that. It's a great time of fun. Sean, did you tell me once that you were you baptized someone in a bathtub? And a whirlpool. Okay. Just a little bathtub. A little maneuver, I'll bet. There are people willing to be baptized in a bathtub in China. And in obedience to Christ Jesus. Tonight we got a swimming pool. We got a beautiful place that we can hang out at and enjoy each other's company and rejoice as our brothers and sisters obey the Lord in being baptized. So that is available for you tonight. And again, I'd ask you to meet with me right up here after the service, to my left, to your right, under that screen. Hebrews chapter 5. Lord, thank you for just the wonderful testimonies that we've heard and the work that you are doing all over the world, from China to Juarez. Father, I ask that you would do a work in our hearts this morning, that we would be your people who are willing to allow you to work in our lives and to work through our lives. Father, help us to grow as Christians into maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. What if we could do an experiment here this morning? What if an instantaneous transformation could take place right here, right now? What would happen if I counted to three, clapped my hands, and at that very moment, we all became physically in age, what we are right now spiritually in maturity? What would you look like? Do you think that some of us might be wearing diapers, sucking on bottles or sippy cups? Or perhaps those who are younger would even be more mature? The Bible teaches that just as we grow up and mature physically, we should be growing up and maturing spiritually as Christians. Becoming a born-again Christian is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Putting your faith and trust in Christ, most important decision you'll ever make. Forgiveness of sins, you become a brand new creation. But becoming a Christian begins a process. And the expectation is that Christians grow and mature from babes in Christ to mature adults in Christ. Our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 5 should help us determine if we are Christians who are growing up or if we are Christians who have had an arrested development of some sort. Take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." the picture that's expressed in this passage is actually pretty pathetic. There were full-grown adults in the church, in that fellowship to which this letter was written. And they were Christians, and they had been Christians for a long time. But some of the Christians, most, I would say, of those long-term Christians were spiritual babies. They hadn't grown up. It says in verse 13, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That word babe means suckling, infant. Though they had been Christians for many years, these were little spiritual babies who hadn't developed any teeth. They couldn't bite, they couldn't chew, all they could do was nurse. They were on the milk of the word. And that's it. And so you have the picture of long-term Christians who are wearing diapers, sucking on bottles from a spiritual standpoint. That's what you had in that fellowship. And this is one of the realities and tragedies of the church today. There are many members in the church who have been Christians 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And yet they are spiritual babies. They haven't grown up at all. And I want you to know, guys, that's tragic, don't you think? Imagine that kind of arrested development in the life of your child, if you are a parent. Man, for most of us, when our children are 2 and 3 years old, aren't they the cutest things in the whole world? They do the most adorable things. They say the cutest things. You know, they sort of shuffle around the house and say, Mama, Dada, Ball? And we hoot. And we holler over them. And we clap. And we say, oh, how adorable. But what happens if our 2-year-old or 3-year-old grows up into the body of a 20-year-old, but there hasn't been any development? And now your 20-year-old's walking around the house saying, Mama, Dada, Ball. No longer cute. Tragic. There is something seriously wrong with the development of your child. There is something seriously wrong with a Christian who does not develop spiritually, who doesn't grow up, who doesn't mature. Our text this morning gives us characteristics of immature Christians. And I want you to evaluate yourself honestly this morning. And please understand that my goal this morning is not to be the guy from the pulpit pointing at all the babies. My job this morning is to simply challenge you to grow in Christ. To grow up and to become stronger in the Lord. And don't settle for staying immature. Move on to growth. Characteristic number one of an immature Christian is this. Immature Christians are unskilled in the Word of God. That's what it says there in verse 13. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the Word of righteousness. Unskilled can mean to be ignorant. And so that would simply mean an immature Christian is a Christian who is ignorant in the Word of God. It is a Christian who has little knowledge in the Bible. And my friends, by that characteristic, there are many immature Christians in America. Because there is widespread
ignorance of the Bible among Christians in America. And I have the hardest time believing that, because as Sean said, we have so many churches, so many Christian radio programs, Christian television programs, Christian bookstores, so many different resources. There's no, so many different Bibles. And yet many American Christians don't know their Bibles. I know that because the stats tell us. In a recent Gallup poll, only 3 out of 5 Christians could recall the names of the first 4 books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In the same poll, Christians were asked, who delivered the Sermon on the Mount? 50% got it right. That Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. In America, those that call themselves Christians. 42% of the Christians interviewed said that without the government's laws, there would be no real guidelines for people to follow in daily life. What about the Bible? That's widespread ignorance of the Scripture. An immature Christian, if he or she tastes anything of the Word of God, it's only milk. And what is the milk of the Word of God? Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you have come to need milk and not solid food. The milk of the Word of God is the first principles of the oracles of God. That's a Greek word that means the very basics, the rudiments, the ABCs in grammar. A straight line and a point when you begin to study geometry. Just the very, very beginnings. Immature Christians are on that milk and only on that milk. And what's more tragic with the Christians here in the book of Hebrews is it says you need someone to teach you again the first principles. You've come to need milk again. The idea is, here's a group of Christians. They've been Christians for a long time. They learned the milk. They forgot the milk. They had to relearn the milk. Incredibly tragic. If you sent your son to college, and after 2 semesters, they come back and you ask him, what have you learned? And he begins to sing, A, B, C, D, E, F. Again, we look at like something like that in the real world and say, tragic, that's arrested development. Transfer that to the church. Transfer that to spiritual development. Do we need Christians like that? Shouldn't Christians be growing? There's another characteristic of a spiritually immature Christian. A spiritually immature Christian is, without a doubt, undiscerning when it comes to good and evil. They lack discernment on things which are right and things which are wrong. They lack discernment on things which benefit them as a Christian and those that harm them as a Christian. At the end of verse 14, it says of the mature Christian that they can discern both good and evil. The immature Christian cannot discern both good and evil. In verse 13, it says, the one who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Righteousness meaning right living. There's no discernment on living rightly. They don't know what benefits them in Christ and what harms them in Christ. And this is one of the things that you will see with small kids, right? They have no discernment as to what benefits them or harms them. If your kids are like my kids, all they would eat is sugar. Popsicles. Candy. Why? Because it tastes so good, Mommy.
But they just take all that in. They don't have any discernment about the importance of vegetables, meats. It's a lack of discernment. I see a lack of discernment in my kids almost every day at this age. A while back, we were having dinner with my parents, and Kim happened to look out the window in our backyard just to check on the kids. Kim, at that moment, screamed at the top of her lungs, "Connor, no!" And I thought, what happened? I turned around. He was at the top of the slide, about to go down, standing up on his scooter. Son, do you want to live past six? Do you want to have all of your limbs when you're eight? That's a sign of immaturity, isn't it? Just no thinking about consequences and stuff. The same is exactly true with an immature believer. They're just sort of, hey, whatever, man. They'll take in whatever. They don't discern. My wife and I were speaking to a sister in Christ a couple weeks ago, Christian lady. She tells us that her favorite show on TV is Desperate Housewives. That is a lack of discernment. That is getting up to the top of the slide on a scooter. And let me just say, I'm not being legalistic here. That's the truth. Christian woman, you have no business feeding your mind with that kind of trash. And if you're doing that and getting involved in things like that, there is a lack of discernment on your part. What's beneficial? What harms you? Do what's beneficial. I think this lack of discernment would also apply to being able to recognize that which is good doctrine and that which is bad doctrine. And again, the immature Christian doesn't have a lot of skill in the Word of God, so they're getting ripped off. They sort of believe whatever they hear. Again, there's no discernment. And again, you can make an illustration of little kids. Isn't it amazing what kids will put in their mouth? They'll put anything in their mouth. My kids have had gum in their mouths that they found on a floor in a supermarket. They just don't. And Kim freaked out on that one too. Lysol sprayed in the mouth, you know. We just went, but kids do this. They'll take whatever they want. And you know what? An immature Christian will allow anything into their ears. Anything into their hearts. They'll consume. Oh, the guy's talking on the Christian radio. Sounds great. Hey, this is Christian TV. I like it. Sounds great. Oh, they gave me this book. I like it. And they just take it all in and they eat it all up. And there's no discernment whatsoever between that which is good and that which is evil. I know Christians who read their horoscope. Christians who believe in karma. Christians who get involved in all sorts of mystical practices. Immature Christians get tossed to and fro. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." A third characteristic of the immature Christian that I see in this passage, an immature Christian contributes very little to the work of the Lord. There's very little output from an immature Christian. There's a whole lot of input, and there's a whole lot of receiving and taking and getting ministry, but with an immature Christian, there's not a whole lot of ministering out. There's a lot of inflow, there's no outflow. There's a lot of input, there's no output. And you see that with an immature Christian. Just like you see that with a little baby. Man, a baby can't do anything, right? A baby has no contributional efforts to society or to the household. You can't get a baby to go help and mow the lawn. My kids are getting old enough, man. They're going to start becoming contributors.
They're going to have chores to do. They're going to mow the lawn. There's going to be some output from their life. They need to grow out of this thing where mommy and daddy do everything and put everything into them, and it's all inflow and no outflow. That's the same as an immature Christian. The immature Christian is sitting around while all the other folks are doing work. The immature Christian is just receiving everything. Getting all the blessings, but not trying in any way, shape, or form to be a blessing to anybody else. I see another characteristic here of an immature Christian, and that is that immature Christians are too dependent upon other Christians for their spiritual development. They're just dependent upon spiritual leaders. Again, you take the picture of the infant. The infant is totally helpless and totally dependent upon mommy. And there are many immature Christians that are just like that. They are totally dependent upon other Christians. They can't make any decisions for themselves. They can't do anything without having to talk to another Christian or a pastor or a teacher or something like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul called the members of that church immature because they were dividing up under spiritual leaders, becoming too dependent on spiritual leaders. And he said to them, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able to. For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" There were people running around in the church at Corinth, dividing up under different mommies. My mommy's Paul. My mommy's Apollos. My mommy's Peter. And I'm dependent upon that. And you see that today among Christians in the church. My mommy's Chuck Smith, or my mommy's Charles Swindoll. You're not my mommy. I want my mommy. Brother and sister in Christ, let's respect the leaders that God has put in our lives to help us. But we need to grow in our dependency on Jesus Christ and become strong in the Lord. With a little bit of independence from other Christians and full dependence upon God. Those are signs of immaturity. Unskilled in the word. Lack of discernment. Too dependent upon other Christians. All those characteristics, they describe someone who is immature. There is no excuse for Christians to be immature except for one. And here's the only excuse. You're allowed to be like just what we talked about if in fact you're a brand new Christian. Hey, if you're a baby in Christ, if you've just given your heart to the Lord, you should be like this. And I don't want to make it all heavy on you this morning and think you walk out of here, "Whoa, but I am a babe." Yes. If you've just received Christ, then you are a baby in Christ, and you will be dependent upon other Christians. You will be unskilled. You will lack some of that discernment, and that's okay. You know what? We need to come around you and surround you and love you and help you grow and mature. But listen, if you've been a Christian for many years and you're still like this, can I just light a fire under you? It's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to blossom. There's beauty in that. Quickly, just look at the flip side of all this. Look at some signs of maturity. Those who are mature in Christ are skilled in the word of righteousness. And they've graduated from milk to meat. Verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word solid food literally means meat. If you are a mature Christian, then you've got the milk and you never leave the milk and you remind yourself of the milk. But you have also graduated to the meat. You've come to a deeper understanding of the Word of God. It's become fuller to you. What is the meat of the Word of God? Well, it's deeper principles. It's the advanced book, like Sean was talking about. It's getting a better understanding of God's Word. Look back up there at verse 9. I want to show you something. The author says to that fellowship, speaking about Jesus as the high priest, he says, Jesus, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. It's very obvious that the author of this book wants to take that congregation into a meatier topic. He wants to talk to them about the ministry of Jesus Christ as their high priest on a whole different order. And yet many of the Christians in that congregation were not ready. They're on the milk. And he thinks, oh, they're not going to get it. Why? Because they're dull of hearing. Unskilled in the Word of God. Not wanting to hear the Word of God. Keep me on the bottle. The meat of God's Word is learning about the high priesthood ministry of Jesus Christ. And the meat of God's Word is learning about how the Old Testament and the New Testament get together. And how you can see Jesus in the Old Testament. And how the things that happened in the Old Testament all point to Jesus. And you see how He fulfills it. And it all comes together. And you get these wonderful, profound insights. That's meat. By the way, you should know, I think the entire book of Hebrews is pretty meaty. This is a tough book. And that should tell you what my confidence level is about this congregation. I believe meaty sermons need to be preached from the pulpits in America. I believe strong doctrine needs to be taught from the pulpits in America. And pastors should expect that. We do live in a country where many Christians won't tolerate sermons that go over 20 minutes. And those 20-minute sermons better be packed full of jokes, drama, entertainment. I do not think it's unreasonable for us to be able to sit together for 45 minutes to an hour one time a week to endure sound doctrine. Do you? You need the meat. I need the meat. We need the meat and the potatoes as well as the candy and the sugar. And I do my best to serve up some sugary stuff every now and then here too. We need it all, the full-based diet. Well-rounded diet of the Word of God. Milk, meat, we want it all. The mature Christian is on to the meat. And by the way, this book is big enough to study for the rest of your life. And you can get more and more out of this all your life. The mature Christian is also extremely discerning when it comes to good and evil. Verse 14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A mature Christian does not lack discernment. A mature Christian is able to understand and see and know that which is beneficial. that which is harmful. Now, there's a growth process to that. But there should be growth. You know, an immature Christian, when they run into a problem in life, or they encounter some difficulty, whatever it might be, a lot of times what they'll do is their first thought is to go to another Christian or go to a pastor and get advice, and they should. That's good. That's great. And the pastor, the teacher, the other Christian should lead them to a place in the Bible. Show them the passage, show them a verse that would help them with their problem, tell them, instruct them how to do it, and then move on, and they go forth and they take that advice. That should happen earlier on. But you know what should happen as you're growing? As you're becoming more mature in Christ and you encounter problems in life, you will be able to go to the Word of God for yourself. You've got knowledge in it. You've got experience in it now. And you can find the passage and you can see how it applies to your life. And you can go out and you can obey it. And that is maturity and that is growth. And then you begin to use your information, your knowledge of the Word, to help other people out. That's the other sign of a mature Christian. There's a lot of output from a mature Christian. There's a lot of outflow. There's a whole lot of contribution into the work of the kingdom of God, into the fulfilling of the Great Commission. In verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." You need someone to teach you again. A mature Christian is a teacher. Now, there are men and women who are gifted by the Holy Spirit in the church with the gift of teaching. They've been anointed by the Spirit to teach the Word of God in a dynamic way. But all mature Christians are teachers. In the sense that they're able to help other people out. They can share information. There's output. A mature Christian can sit down with someone over lunch, one-on-one, and share with that person how to be saved and lead them to the Lord. A mature Christian can get together with a younger brother or sister in Christ, and there can be an exchange of information and biblical counsel. Mature Christians are like that. Are you like that? As we close, let me just ask this simple question. And again, I want you to evaluate yourself honestly and truthfully, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just asking of God that all of us become mature. Because the church needs mature Christians in the battle that we face. Here's the question. Are you growing up? Are you growing up? If after looking at the characteristics of our Bible study this morning, of maturity and immaturity, if you can answer yes, then I have two things to say to you. Keep growing. Secondly, build into other people's lives. Build into other people's lives. Multiply yourself. Share. Help. If you answer no to that question, are you growing up? No. If you're a brand new Christian, then that's okay right now. And you've got a picture of the big picture. This is where you're headed. You are headed to maturity. And I want to encourage you, soak up the Word like a sponge. Be in church every time the doors are open. Go to Bible study. Get all you can and go to your brothers and sisters in Christ and pummel them with questions. Go for it. Learn all that you can. But you need to see the big picture. You're going to grow into a mature Christian one day. If the answer to that question, are you growing up, is no, and you've been a Christian for many, many years, I'm going to invite you as we close to just say a simple prayer to Christ this morning. I'm going to ask you to pray and ask Him just a prayer like this. Lord, I'm ready to grow up. I'm ready. Grow me up. And help me to do those things required on my end for spiritual growth. We can grow. Isn't that great? We can become stronger, more mature in Christ. That's what God wants for us. A student once asked the president of his school if there was a course he could take that was shorter than the one prescribed. Yes, replied the president, but it depends on what you want to be. When God wants to make an oak, He takes 100 years. When He wants to make a squash, it only takes 6 months. Let's be oaks. Let's grow. Let's become stronger in the Lord, more dependent upon Him. Let's leave the diapers. Let's leave the bottles. Full grown, mature Christians. Understanding the Word, knowing how to apply it. Making contributions. Being dependent upon the Lord. Father, I thank You that You are so patient with us. You're called, You call Yourself our Father. And Lord, just like a dad, You're with us in every stage of development. Lord, You are with us when we take our first steps spiritually. And how You pick us up when we fall down. And how You provide for us in every way. And Your patience is truly amazing. With all that patience and love and grace that You have poured out upon us, I ask, Lord, that we would grow, that we would mature, that we would develop. That we would not waste our lives and waste time, but we would grow all that we can right now. If you're here this morning and you've had an arrested development as a Christian and you've been a Christian for many years, I invite you right now to simply tell the Lord that you desire to grow up. Just in a simple prayer, say, Lord, I want to grow up. Help me to grow up. You just say that prayer. Father, for the one who truly prays that prayer this morning, I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would take that life and You would transform. I pray that there would be a hunger for Your Word, voracious hunger for Your Word, a strong desire for that person to draw closer to You. I pray that You would answer the prayer. And that You would bring growth. Do that work, Lord. Make us fruitful. All of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and we're going to close the service. And as we sing this last song, celebrate and rejoice in your Heavenly Father. And let us all keep in mind that all of us are works in progress. All of us need Jesus. All of us need to depend upon Him every day. Let's sing to Him this final song.
The thunder, we have seen the storm, the echoes of your kingdom coming, rumors of our home, where one day we will stand before you, Lord, all together beautiful reward, and we'll give you glory. King above all kings, you deserve all everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are a king. Now we walk in darkness, now we see in part. Right now we're warmed by the burning flame, the fire in our hearts. You promised you would lead us to your throne, when we will worship you, and you alone. It's you alone, and we will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve all everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are a king. Yes, you are Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Being baptized, if you haven't been, is a step of maturity. Those of you who need to be baptized tonight, meet me right up here to our left. My left, not our left. My left, your right. We'll see you in a minute. Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight.